24, verses 36 through 53. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms." He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. You are a witness of these things." When they had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And as they stayed, continued at the temple, praising God. May the Lord bring blessing to his word. We now turn the balance of our time over to Steve.
I know Larry made the announcement about the fashion show, but, you know, unfortunately, I'm just so booked. I can't make it, and I do apologize, but that's the way things go. Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. And the day looked a little dark in the morning, but it is brightened up here. And it's a beautiful day that the Lord has given us. I'm just going to play a little work scenario for you, and I'll explain as I go along. Welcome to the bank. Nice to see you today. Oh, you're here to order some checks? Sure, come right over. I'll be glad to help you. Let me just check and see. Be sure you're in the best accounts and taking advantage of all the good things that come along with it. I noticed that you're starting to pay some fees in your checking account. That's not a good thing, is it? Well, I can make some changes for you, link up some accounts, and save you some money. You like that? Oh, good, good, good. Oh, you know, and I also noticed that you have a lot of money in your savings account. You could really be earning more if you put the money in a CD or an annuity, for instance. Not just yet. Sure, not a problem. But, you know, think about it, and maybe I can give you a call in a couple of weeks, and we can talk about that. You know, you should be earning as much as you can in this crazy economy that we have. Okay, let me also make a suggestion to you that I know you guys have a mortgage, right? You know, what's the rate you're paying? Wow, that's pretty high. Well, you know, there are some opportunities to do a refinance. You've been talking about it. Yes, well, that's great. I can put you in touch with the person who can help you with what it would cost, whether it's going to work for you, what the rates are, and so forth. You'd like that? Okay, I'll have him give me a call this afternoon. Great, terrific. Well, your check order is done, so I will let you go, and you guys have a great day. That's the typical job today, at least in my bank environment, as I live out my day serving customers. What was I doing? Well, I was looking at the customer's needs, trying to find out things I could do to meet those needs, save them some money here, make them some money there, help them get to their financial goals. It is called needs-based selling. And that's exactly what more and more companies are doing, not just banks, to try to provide something specific to a customer that they really need. We're going to talk a little bit today about witnessing. Now, when I mention witnessing, two things happen. One is that people all say, yes, 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 definitely something good to do, but most are deathly afraid of doing it. Witnessing can be a challenge. If you're in the category that you feel very comfortable doing that, that's terrific. What I did was I started looking at the appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did and said after the resurrection. We celebrated Easter, the Lord's resurrection, last weekend. This time I kind of looked at the passages of Scripture that showed information he was passing on that, of all things, talked about the disciples and believers and how they ought to get the gospel out. It is, if you will, needs-based selling. It is the opportunity to not just say, bang, here's what I want to give you, take it or leave it. It is relationship building. It is working with the individual to find out what the need is. Well, obviously, we know what the need is. They do not have Jesus Christ as their Savior. So what you want to do is determine the specifics, build a relationship, and reach out to them. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated and taught some really great things in these post-resurrection appearances, if you will. And his strategy, I see, is both doable and effective. So let's take a look at those appearances. What Luke did is Luke kind of combined everything together. If you read part two, you read the first part of Acts, you see that it was a period of 40 days from the time of the resurrection to the time that the Lord Jesus Christ rose back to heaven. As a child, I thought that when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he kind of met with a few disciples and talked to a few people, and then he went up into heaven. Done. End of story. But Luke is careful to explain that it's a 40-day period of time. There were more than 10 appearances that he made to disciples and others during this period of time. Well, just for those who are keeping score, I'm just going to run through them very quickly, and then we're going to focus on just a few to see if we can help with our understanding of what witness should be. Well, first of all, to Mary Magdalene on the morning of the resurrection, the tomb. Then to the other women, same day, same area. Then to Peter near the tomb on Resurrection Day, apparently just after the two disciples set out for Emmaus. Paul mentions this. To the two disciples traveling to Emmaus on the day of resurrection, that afternoon. To the 10 disciples, one significant person not there, Thomas. To the 10 disciples on the evening of the day of resurrection. And then to the 11 disciples, this time Thomas was there, 1 week after the resurrection, also in Jerusalem. Then to the 7 disciples fishing at the Sea of Galilee. Are there more? Yes. To the 11 disciples and perhaps 500 others, if Paul means this particular time period, at a mountain in Galilee that Christ specifically asked them to go to after the resurrection. And then to James, the half-brother of our Lord. Then back again to Jerusalem, to the disciples on the day of the ascension, and then he walked them out to the Mount of Olives, and a few words and a blessing there, and then he rose up into the sky back to the Lord. A lot of time. But it was 40 days. Just think of how long 40 days is. My first thought was, well, what were the authorities doing? Didn't anybody get tipped off that he was alive? He was around? But the Lord limited his appearances to just the believers. And I think he did that because he wanted to do some final training for the disciples. And guess what? For us too. What I'm going to do is walk you through these appearances, but very quickly. We won't have time to stay and dwell on too many of them. But so we're going to go racing through that 40 days and do a whirlwind summary of some of the points that were mentioned there. The first one was Resurrection Day, the day the Lord rose from the dead. The disciples, being the brave ones that they were behind locked doors, scared to death. They were very, very worried. Peter had had this contact with the Lord, and I don't know where his head was at, and the two disciples who were walking to Emmaus, Christ joined them, explained what had happened. They were overwhelmed, and they came running back after he disappeared, and they told the disciples, but the door was still locked. And then the Lord appeared to them. He came through the wall, and he appeared to them. They were astonished, shocked, afraid, you name it. And the first thing he said, which was a good thing to say, peace be unto you. My heart be pounding at that point too. John tells us a little bit of what happened. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Christ has appeared. They are joyful. He's alive. He is alive. And he's telling them three little nuggets of truth. As you and I sit in that house, we listen in. And he says, I'm sending you on a mission. You know, just like the Father sent me on a mission, that's why I'm here. That's why I went to the cross. He spoke like Isaiah when the Father asked him to come. Here am I. Send me. And the Lord Jesus Christ came. And he accomplished marvelous things, not just the miracles, not just the preaching, but he offered himself as the Lamb of God. And he willingly went in to be crucified. All our sin was heaped upon him. The sin of all the ages was heaped upon him. And the Father turned his back on him, and he died, literally died. But as the sacrificial lamb, the punishment was there. But then we get to go free. And the Father was pleased with what his Son had done with his mission, and he raised him from the dead. And now the Lord is standing there talking to us as we're in this room with locked doors, and he says, as the Father has sent me, yeah, I am sending you. The first point of witness, we are being sent. You know, it's very wonderful to think that once we trust Christ as Savior, we're home free. We don't have to do anything else. Oh, we can come out and be here in the fellowship. Sure, that's great. Go over to someone's house, have a great time. That's wonderful. And the Lord is saying, wait a minute. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. So we all have that responsibility. So the first teaching that the Lord gives us as we sit in this room is, what about our willingness to go? Second thing he mentions is the Holy Spirit is critical to our success. The third person of the Trinity is to be part of our witness. See, it's not just you saying, let me talk to you, friend. Let me just tell you what's going on. See, there's this Jesus, and he died on the cross, And if you're really good at arguing, you might be able to get him to say yes. That's not the way it works. We have the Holy Spirit as our ally. The third person of the Trinity works in the hearts of individuals to soften their hearts, to get them to think about what's being said. And as you share the Word of God, which is quick and powerful, the impact will be made. So it's not only about you. You're part of it. Christ says, don't forget the Holy Spirit. And lastly, in this first meeting, Christ is emphasizing forgiveness. Do you know that's our stock in trade? We think that if we can lay on him the four spiritual laws, we can quote John 3:16, we're done. But instead, we are to offer forgiveness. It's been said that a huge percentage of people who are in our mental institutions could be well and free to go if they just believe they were forgiven. People struggle with what they've done in their lives. You don't have to tell them. They know. They feel that they're guilty. They feel that even God himself would never forgive them. And they certainly couldn't forgive themselves. But you know, we're purveyors, if you will, sellers of forgiveness. We offer it through Jesus Christ, and it's forgiveness based on what the Word of God says. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Repent of your sin. Turn to him. And you know what? You're free. You're cleansed. Because all the sin was placed on Christ. I know you want to stay, but we've got to move on. We've got to fast forward in time and go 8 days later. And we're back in the same house. Looks pretty much the same. This time, your buddy Thomas is there. He wasn't there the first time. As a matter of fact, you may have told him about the whole story that Christ was there, and he made a big deal of the fact that unless I put my finger into the spear hole, and if I put my finger into the holes in his hands, only then will I believe. Tough case. You're anxious to be there because it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And Christ appears again. John continues. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. A couple of points here. We must own Jesus Christ as our Lord to be effective in witnessing. Well, of course, he's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he? Yes, but is he your Lord? Is he your Lord and Master? Will you follow him? Would you obey him? Do you recognize that he's sending you on a mission individualized to you? He is to be obeyed. Christian, think now. Are you obeying him? Well, 75% of the time, not good enough. Go before him when you sit before him tomorrow morning or this afternoon. Just say, Lord, wherever I'm bucking you, even if it's this mission of witnessing, I want to obey. I want to make sure you are my Lord and my God. The other point that's mentioned here is the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection can be believed by those who didn't see. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying that, yeah, the people you're going to talk to were never there, but you can describe it to them. You can tell them all those details. You can read from the Word of God so that they see it in their mind's eye. And yes, they can believe. There should be that kind of passion in us, that kind of understanding of the Word of God. We describe these things in our witness, and people can understand and get it. But we have to leave that room. We've got to move on. We've got a trek ahead of us. As the crow flies, it's probably about 70 miles. We've got to go north from the Jerusalem area up to the Sea of Galilee. It's a long walk. And if we want to go around Samaria, we have to go to the other side of Jordan. We have to keep on going. When we get there, we discover that the disciples, there are seven of them at this time, meeting. They decide that what they're going to do, Peter's initiative, we're going fishing. Now, they've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talked to them about a mission. They're a little confused. They're not sure of the timing, but they're going to go fishing. John continues. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. Well, they had been fishing all night. That was a big no. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Gotta be kidding. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. When they landed, they saw fire burning with coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. 153 fish. Peter and John saw the Lord, as did the other disciples. Later on, after a conversation that the Lord had with Peter, John seems to be walking by, and Peter turns and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, John. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You follow me. Some thoughts here from that meeting. It's a beautiful morning. You're there having breakfast. You're with your Lord. You have some time to talk. But here's the point. Remember how the Lord likened fishing to that mission of witnessing, reaching out, getting the gospel out? And he said, you shall be fishers of men. You're going to fish for men, guys, girls. Peter wanted to go fishing. And if you look at it in terms of witnessing, you could possibly say that Peter did it all wrong. And what was the result? Since God wasn't directing the mission, they failed. Believers can witness without God's direction, but failure will always be the result. Well, what do you mean? I'm good at it. I know just where the fish are. I know how to say it. I have my little New Testament. I'm ready. Did God direct you? Did God lead you? Did you pray about it? Did you pray with other brothers and sisters? This is what I'm going to try to do. This is how I'm going to do my day, my week, my month. Well, maybe not, but I'm doing the Lord's work. Well, if you will, Peter was doing the Lord's work too and not getting anything. God will direct our steps in witness, and there'll be an abundant harvest. But we've got to let him be the boss. Sometimes you feel you're so close to the Lord that there's no need to ask. What does James say? You have not because you ask not. Duh. But we do it all the time. And as we get older in the faith, we get smarter. We know the Lord so well. We know what he would want. Ask him to show you what to do. Ask him to burden your heart about who you should be witnessing to, who you should be praying for to start with, to reach for Jesus Christ. And look at the Lord on the shore. He had already made breakfast. The fish hadn't even been brought in. There was fish on the fire. There was bread. Delicious breakfast. First thing in the morning. Tastes great outside. It's a reminder that God will provide for our physical needs while we serve him. Some serve full time. Some do part time. Some every once in a while. But whatever, God will provide for your needs. My God shall supply some of your needs. No. All of your needs by Christ Jesus. And lastly, Peter. What about him? What about John? You ever notice that there's someone who is in the fellowship or good friend? Boy, can they witness. Wow. Just unbelievable. You know, I say a few words once in a while and it seems to work, but I stop comparing yourself. Don't ask the Lord, what about him? What about her? She's so good at it. Don't compare yourself to other believers. What does the Lord say to Peter? worry about it. You just follow me. And that's a reminder about witness as well. Just follow Christ. Yeah, but I don't have a lot of people I'm talking to. It's okay. The Lord will lead you and he will provide. Now I want you to finish your breakfast. We got to move on. We're still going to stay in Galilee, but we've got to move on. The Lord Jesus Christ has specified a mountain that we are to go to. We, the disciples, and others. This is a mountain that he said even as he rose from the dead, and the angel said as well, go to this mountain, and there you will meet him. He'll go before you there. Now, we're not sure what mountain this is. There's a mountain called Tabor, T-A-B-O-R, that's right in that area. It's probably 1,500 to 1,800 feet high. Not a huge mountain, but a mountain. What's interesting about Tabor is, we don't know for sure whether that's the exact place, but it was a place where there had been pagan worship many, many years before, time of the Old Testament. Okay? And also there was a fortification that was built up around the top of the mountain from a soldier point of view. Okay? The last thing I noticed about Tabor, Mount Tabor, was it was the place of victory. You remember in the Old Testament the story of Deborah and Barak? Deborah was a mighty woman of God. Barak was a mighty man of God. And the two of them got together. Deborah gave the orders. Barak got 10,000 men and they swept down into the valley and destroyed their enemies, the general Sisera. So it was a place of victory as well. Maybe the Lord chose that area to show victory, to show victory over pagan worship, and to show that we are safe in Christ. Just a thought. Matthew talks a little bit about this event. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The first thing that's said, and it's the only time that's mentioned, you know, because we've been in that locked room twice, and we were at the Sea of Galilee. But this is the first time it's mentioned. When they saw him, they worshiped him. Isn't that great? They worshiped him. The shock was over. The joy is taking possession. He's alive. He's my Savior. He's sending me on a mission. He's giving me the tools to get it done. I'm going to worship him today. Worship is important. Spending time, whether it be in the breaking of bread or on your own, worshiping the Lord, just praising him. The name of the hymn book that we use in the morning is Worship and Remembrance. A good reminder. But spending time focusing on our Lord in his presence really sets the tone for our witness. It really does. Because when you're there and you're talking about the bread and the cup, you're thinking of him and of God who sent him and the plan of salvation. And you think, great, when this is over, I'm going to praise the Lord and I'm going to go out and continue the mission. So worship is important. Another thing is that the Lord gives us authority. How can you say that to me? Where did you get your information? Who told you to do this? I've been given authority by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Someone walks into your office and says, I'd like to show you my ID. I'm from the IRS. I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you about your account records and your tax filing. You look at the ID, you become very scared, and you hope that everything was right. He has the authority. She has the authority. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us the authority to carry out the mission. It is his to give because the Father gave it to him. So we can go proudly as we witness. We're representing him. We may not get the best reaction all the time, but we can represent him. And keep in mind that witness is not just a drop and run. Witness is more than that. Witness is making disciples. Do you ever think about that? Oh, I'd love to have my uncle saved. I just, you know, it would be just so terrific. Thank you, Lord. Amen. No, you want your uncle saved. You want him baptized. You want him to be a disciple. You want him learning the scripture and serving the Lord. That's what you really want. Well, I sort of meant that. Well, maybe not. Maybe our prayer should be to encompass the whole thing. Witness involves making disciples, baptism, teaching them to obey everything that the Lord commanded. So think about that when you pray. That's from the top of the mountain. Let's move on. We've got to go back to Jerusalem. We got another hike about 70 miles back south, and we're going to go to the day of Christ's ascension. The 40 days are now just about over. Back in Jerusalem, from what we read in Luke today. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. The Lord, the disciples. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. The repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The Holy Spirit's coming. I told you about him, but he's coming. But you've got to stay here and wait. The first thing you notice as you sit there in Jerusalem is that Christ opens their minds to understand the scriptures. What do I say to that person? He's from a Muslim background. What do I say to that person? She's been abused all her life. What do I say to that person? They're some cult. What do I say? Well, the Lord's telling his disciples, get into the Word. I'll help you understand it. And by the Holy Spirit, he does. If you're praying about an individual, a group, and you're praying that they would be disciples and be baptized and then obey the Lord and serve the Lord, ask the Lord to open the scriptures to you to say the right thing. It is so amazing what people will remember about what you said. You put together this great speech and you say what you say and they'll say, you know, the only thing I could remember is what you said at the very end. The Lord will show you what to say and then he'll make sure his word does not return to him void. That's his promise. We witness. That's the term that's used here, and that's where we got the lesson. That's why we talk about witness. We evangelize. We share the gospel. We make disciples. But what is witness? I swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. You go into a court of law, and that's what you're supposed to do. Do you study everything about that car that had the accident so you can explain it all to everybody? No. All I know is I was in the car and the steering wheel all of a sudden started making a noise and shook and you're telling what happened. We witness to what happened in our personal lives. Don't try to be a theologian when you're sharing Christ. Just share what's going on in your life. I had a difficult marriage and the Lord took care of it. My children, they've been fighting us all the time and you know, one of them's already saved, just found the Lord. We had some financial problems. I don't think I'd ever find a job. And yet, God just did A, B, and C, and now I'm working. Just share what's going on in your life, that Jesus Christ is alive and he's real. You be witnesses. And the Holy Spirit's coming. And actually, if you're a Christian, he indwells you. And that's where the power is. Power coming from on high. Not only does he work on the side to the individuals that need to find Christ, but he gives you the power to speak, to say, to preach, to share, to witness. Let's quickly move on to the ascension. At the Mount of Olives, you see an unbelievable sight. The Lord himself rising into the sky. Acts, Luke records, men of Galilee, they said, these are the angels speaking at the time, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And what happened to the disciples? Mark adds that. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them. Wait a minute, didn't he go? But the Lord worked with them. That's his promise. And the Holy Spirit will be the power. And the Holy Spirit will work on other people. And Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're never alone when we witness. Oh, it's just me. I'll never be able to do it. You have the Lord himself there. And the Holy Spirit indwells you. Let me just sum up as we close today. With just two thoughts. Everything that we have read about, heard the Lord demonstrate or say, is all meant to teach and help us. I hope that all of us will mull over these thoughts. Reread these passages at the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and part of Acts. But I'm going to say, just like there's seasoning required, I think I'm just going to put a little bit of seasoning in that stew that I'm making. There are two things that we need to have. One is enthusiasm, and the other is compassion. Look at Mary Magdalene. She went to the disciples with the news. She had just seen Jesus Christ. He was risen. And she said, I have seen the Lord. What's so remarkable about that? It's what I believe is the way she said it. Such enthusiasm. And she told them that he had said these things to her. And that's what we can do with enthusiasm. I'd like to tell you about Christ. I mean, he's really done a lot for my life. I mean, I feel so excited about him. Really? Thank you. Next. You know what he's done for you. Just this past week, think of all the things he's done for you. And you just want to sing a song. You want to praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. Well, don't keep it to yourself. Yeah, but I can't really, you know, like state all the theology and what happened and sin. You can state enough of it, but the important thing is to let them know he's alive and he's working in your life. Do it with enthusiasm. And quickly, our time is done. I'm going to give you an example from a present-day believer. To me, I heard him speak, and it was just really exciting. He is president of a divinity school in New York City. He's a born-again believer, and he felt that the Lord was calling him to reach out to the top officials of, you ready for this? The New York Board of Rabbis. They'd be on my list too. After several calls, he got agreement that they would meet with him. But the meeting was forgotten. He called again. Finally, they set a date. And here he is sitting there with the rabbis from the New York Board of Rabbis in New York. And they don't make it easy. In their first two meetings, the leading rabbi said to him, do you think Jews need Jesus? Think a minute. What would you say? Paul said, certainly. Jesus is so good that God wants him for everyone. The gospel is so truly wonderful that it is for both Jews and Gentiles. Another question that came up. Do you support Israel? Paul said, yes. What's not to like? Israel turned a desert into a garden. It's the only real democracy in the region, and it's fulfilling Hebrew scripture prophecy. I also support the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people have been very badly served by Arafat and now by Hamas and Hezbollah, but they are still God's images, as we are. Each of the first two meetings were concluded by the rabbis saying that they like Dr. DeVries, because, quote, we trust you to say what you believe and we feel your compassion. The meetings are continuing, and other evangelicals are meeting with the Board of Rabbis. Well, that may not be what God's calling you to do, but don't be afraid. Paul wasn't. He took the Lord's direction. He honestly spoke from his heart, and he added that seasoning of compassion. We can do that as well. So we're on a mission. Are you good at it, Steve? Probably not. But the Lord's speaking to me too. So let's think about it. Let's pray about it. Let's go before the Lord. Do all the things we're supposed to do. And let's look to Him. You don't have to necessarily win a huge number of people. Start with one or two. And God will bless. He is there. The power's there. Everything's there for you. All the tools. So do some needs-based selling of your Savior in the best way possible. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, how we thank you for these final training sessions for the disciples and for us. Father, there's so much wisdom there. So much went on in the 40 days that I never paid that much attention to it, but I'm so grateful that you led me to see it. And Lord, may the spirit of this mission and the tools to help us get it accomplished will stay with us, each one. Help us, Father, to reach out, not only to get the message out, but to disciple and see someone baptized and see someone growing and obeying and serving. Oh, Father, help us. Fill us with your Spirit and use us. Continue to bless this very special fellowship and those who are responsible for it. We thank you that you are here in our midst. We commit the rest of the day to you, and we ask for continued blessing upon what goes on here and in the surrounding area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.